I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to Tilly and Helen Are Mostly Nice About People. This week, Tilly, who are we doing?
This week we are doing...
Yeah.
Who do we decide on?
So this is it. Just before we started recording, Tilly was like, who are we doing again? And then she was like, I'll find out on the show.
Which I now regret.
I'm really sorry. That was very mean of me to put you on the spot. So every week we talk about a different
person.
Do you
know?
I know. I've got his Google up here.
Great.
Tim Berners-Lee.
Oh, yeah, of course. That was a good idea.
Really good idea. Should we explain? Every week we talk about a different person, we dissect, we
divulge. Every week we talk about a different person, we dissect, we divulge, we
have bad internet connection.
Dip and duck and dive.
We dip and duck and dive and dip and duck and... Oh, what a film.
Oh, that's from Dodgeball. I was like, I am a wordsmith. And then I was like, no.
No, it's from Dodgeball, which is an absolutely amazing film that I think has stood the test of time up until the final scene where, spoilers, skip forward 30 seconds if you don't want a spoiler, the sort of love interest woman comes out as bisexual and he's, do you remember this bit?
So it's really gross and...
They're trying to work out if she's a lesbian and whether he has any shot with her and she's like, I'm not a lesbian, I'm bisexual. Then she snogs him and then she turns to her girlfriend and snogs her girlfriend. And it's like, so it's all fine, I just snog anyone because that's what being bisexual is.
Yeah, apparently.
It's just being a big floozy.
All the bisexual people I know are the biggest virgins you've ever met. I have to cut that out.
Cancelled. Sir Timothy John Berners-Lee, OMKBE, FRS, FERNG, FRSA, DFBCS.
What do those mean?
Okay, OM is Order of Merit. I'm going to have to click on each one in a bit. KBE is the most excellent order.
Oh, I was quite impressed then. I thought that you actually knew what that was, but of course you were just reading them.
I'm clicking it on Wikipedia. KBE, the most excellent order of the British Empire. FRS, Fellowship of the Royal Society. Shall I keep going? FRE.
I think you should make up what you think they are.
FRENG is the Freddy's really expensive now. God.
Freddy's?
Freddo's. Freddy's.
You meant Freddo's.
Freddo's friend Freddy.
I was like, Freddy's? Why the fuck is Freddy's?
Freddy's really expensive.
Like, does she mean Frankie and Benny's? But no, you meant Freddo's.
I meant
okay.
Freddo's. Do you want to do the next one, which is FRSA?
FRSA.
FRSA.
Fucking rent.
Political.
Sucks ass.
Yes, love that.
So political. Doesn't make any sense. Why would that be after his name?
Because maybe...
Sir Tim Berners-Lee, fucking rent sucks ass. Of the Order of the Sucks Ass.
It is the Fellowship of the Royal Society of the Encouragement of Arts, Manufactures and Commerce.
Cool.
Which is cool. And then finally, DFBCS, which obviously should do a word each.
Don't...
Fly.
But.
Cream.
What's the last one?
S.
Spinach.
Don't fly but cream spinach. That is actually correct.
And that's actually, again, political. We just can't help ourselves, can we?
Distinguished Fellow of the British Computer Society.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
It's not as fun, is it?
Yeah, guess not. Guess not. What a guy. Made the internet.
Yeah,
made...
So he's an English computer scientist best known for the invention of the World Wide Web.
Just as you do. Imagine going to sleep every night thinking I made the internet.
Oh. I mean... stop being able to use words. That's how much I've not invented the World Wide Web. Just though, for clarification, he didn't invent the internet. He invented the way in which we all access the internet, which is via the World Wide Web.
Right, okay, yeah.
Which, yeah. Would you like me to...
That's still quite a big part, though, isn't it?
It's the main part for me, actually, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, what is the internet?
I guess it's a bit like if a tree falls in a woods and there's no one there to hear it, does it really fall? It's a bit like if the internet didn't have the World Wide Web, would there really be an internet?
So he invented the web browser, essentially.
Yeah, he
invented...
You go.
There you go.
Like, who's going to try and explain this best? He invented, shall I tell you what the World Wide Web is? It is an information system enabling documents and other web resources to be accessed over the internet, made available to the network through web servers, can be accessed by programs such as web browsers. Oh, it's just so smart. I can't even understand what's going on. URLs, he came up with those.
Yeah.
God, they're great. Hypertext markup language, HTML. Didn't know what that stood for. There you go. He came up with that as well.
Yeah.
It's a markup language that supports plain text, images, embedded videos and audio content scripts. An absolute genius.
That's a lot. That's a lot that he came up with.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the internet?
Well, it's not gone well, has it? Overall. Like, massive destabilisation of, like, whole governments.
Yeah.
But then they probably would have been doing that anyway without the internet, so... The thing that scares me is just that we no longer have any connection to the truth or reality, and, like, people's minds are, like, literally getting, like, brainwashed. But maybe that was always happening. At least now people stay in their homes.
You know, I got uninvited to a philosophy festival because I was due to speak on a panel about the internet, and they called me up for what I thought was just like a pre-chat, but turned out was like very much an interview. And they asked me about, it was all about the sort of changing of our brains because of the internet and the damages of the internet on young people. And I was just like, I think it's great. I think it's amazing. I think the internet is fab. Well, good job. Everyone's doing a good job on there. We're getting all of the information that we need, love Wikipedia. And my point was, and I don't know if I agree with this, because who am I, but you've always had misinformation just in different ways, and you've always had sort of cults, and people would say things in a pub and you'd never be able to Google it and check that they were right or wrong. And they'd just think that for their entire, like, old wives' tales, that predated the internet, didn't it?
But isn't now the problem that, like, old wives' tales are, like, literally, like... Instead of, like, just hearing an old wives' tale being like, ooh, maybe I believe that, maybe I don't. Like, the old wives' tale is, like, a drug that, like, people are literally creating feedback loops in their brains to do with the old wives' tale.
Which is why I put your name forward to go to this philosophy festival, because I feel like you'd be much better at speaking about it than me.
I'll just be like, it's all shit. I don't know anything about it, but I know for a fact that it's all shit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they just wanted someone to go and say that, and that's why you got uninvited, or was it just that you didn't know anything about it?
I think it was a bit of both, really. I think I'm just wrong, aren't I? The internet is bad, and I was probably...
It's not all bad.
Yeah, but I've been brainwashed by the internet to think the internet is good, so it's not my fault. Maybe I am evidence.
No.
I think you're
just you.
Just stupid.
No, just, you know, you love life and you love everything in it and you think it's all going to be okay. But you're wrong.
Look what I bought.
Always believe that something wonderful is about to happen. Did you get that from TK Maxx?
Yeah, how can you tell?
The sticker. And also, that's the kind of thing one buys in TK Maxx.
You inspired me to buy this.
Why?
So this is a book. Well, it's actually a diary, 2022 to 2023, 18-month planner, which I love. I love it when they start halfway through the year. Anyway, because last week I asked you if happiness is real or something like that, and you said that it's a verb, I guess, rather than a noun, and it's an act that you have to do.
Wow, did I say that?
You did.
Who the fuck do I think I am?
Yeah, it was beautiful. I cried. I just thought it was amazing, particularly coming out of your cynical mouth. And anyway, I thought, God, and you said it's about being grateful. So what I'm going to do in this diary is every day I'm going to, because I don't obviously keep a paper diary because I'm a millennial, every day I'm going to write down the good thing, the wonderful thing that happened that day. That's my plan.
Have you got anything in there yet?
No, it's completely empty from this week.
Completely empty. It would be quite funny if you just never filled any of it in and then you found it next year.
Nothing wonderful happened.
Back on all the things I'm grateful for. Nothing.
Empty pages.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome back from those brilliant adverts. We're still talking about the internet, but also not really talking about the internet. And what's his face? The man who invented the World Wide Web, Tim...
TBL. Two big...
Lickers.
Two big lickers.
That's us. Two big lickers, which is what we'll be rebranding the podcast as.
He's a really, really respected man.
Two big lickers.
Imagine someone listening to this, imagining to, like, get, like, an actual, like, fucking serious rundown on this man, his achievements. Let me just skip through. Two big lickers.
You know, Tilly has this theory. You have a theory, don't you, Tilly? Or at least I remember you saying this once, that because we do quite high-profile people, that every week it's a completely different audience. It just happens to be around the same sort of number. But who are people who are fans of that person?
Yeah, I think people do come and listen based on the title. And then people leave horrible reviews, usually about me.
I say pretty exclusively about you. I'm a delight.
They literally never say anything bad about you, so...
They did group us in together when they called us two lefty millennial nonces or whatever it was that they said.
Didn't call us nonces, Helen. No, all right, fucking Ellie Elon Musk. Pedo guy. They called me a pedo guy. They didn't call us pedos.
They called me a big licker. They didn't.
They didn't call us lickers. They did call us lefty millennials, which, to be fair, is accurate. So, I mean, that's not really... True.
I've had that one framed. Very proud.
Yeah. I've got one of them as my Twitter banner.
It's legendary.
It's great.
Helen Must Go Alone, is it that one?
Yeah, Helen Must Go Alone.
Tilly is too negative or something.
I can't remember. Do you know,
that guy needs to tune back into you talking about happiness being a verb, not a noun, or whatever it was that you said. Maybe he got us mixed up. People do that.
Do you think anyone would ever call you bitter? Who didn't know you? Who hadn't, like, spent enough time with you to see when you are being bitter? But you're not. You're never bitter, really. You're only ever hilarious about all of the things that should have made you deeply bitter and sad inside.
That is such a nice thing to say.
You're such a... have you seen that video of Phoebe from Friends when she's talking about Lisa Kudrow and she's talking about all her failures? It gets recommended to me via my algorithm at least, like, once a week. And she's talking about how she didn't, when she got sacked from Frasier, and her friend called her and was like, I don't know how you get up in the morning. Look at the video, it's really good. But I always think that, like, because she was like, I'm going to carry on, and then she got cast in Friends. But I always think that you would have had a similar attitude, you know. You would have been like, well, dust myself off, carry on.
Go get cast in Friends. Do you know what I love about that is what you're saying there is you've had a lot of failure and you're really good at dealing with it.
Yeah. I don't know how you get up in the morning.
Do you know the first time I came across... you're also great, by the way, obviously, it goes without saying.
Oh, yeah, don't worry.
The first time I came across Tim Berners-Lee, because I don't know anything about anything, was when he did the opening ceremony for the 2012 Olympics.
Do you know what I thought you were about to say? When he did Strictly Come Dancing. Let's get him on Strictly Come Dancing.
Let's make him do it.
Great. How old is he? He can do it.
He's not 70. That old. He's 67.
Oh, great. Tim Berners-Lee for Strictly. Let's educate the people, specifically you and me, about what it is he's supposed to have done.
Did you see him on the opening ceremony for the 2012 Olympics?
Yes, well, I did watch it in the day, so I must have done. What does he do? Does he press a big button or something, and then the internet opens up around him?
Yeah, exactly that. God, you should have directed it. You'd have been great.
I'm sure it's just in the back of my, like, horrible lizard brain somewhere.
I feel like that opening ceremony is just sort of programmed into all of us, isn't it? Like,
it was frenzied, the level of us just buzzing off being British. And it's never been like that ever again, which is quite fun.
And also then, obviously, the legacy of it was just, like, huge homelessness and poverty in that area. But anyway, I have a friend who every night after, like, a night out...
Things can only get better.
My friend every night after a night out comes home and watches the Olympic opening ceremony.
Every night?
Really drunk.
When she's
well,
drunk.
Like, every big night, yeah. She's had a big night. She'd pop it on.
Is that
watch the whole
to chill
8 hours.
Out? Is that because she feels, like... anxious about what she might have said and done, and she's like, let me see what Danny Boyle has to say about living in Britain.
I've never thought about it like that before, but it probably is exactly that, isn't it? A little comfort telly.
Yeah, we haven't got a problem. It's fine to drink this much. Everyone's okay. Things can only get better. I don't even think that was Labour. I don't know why you keep saying things can only get better. It's because of your fucking diary. Was it saying it again? Everything's going to be better forever.
Always believe that something wonderful is about to happen. Can I tell you what I really like about this as a phrase?
Yeah.
Is it's not saying that it will. It's just saying you must always believe that it will, whether or not you're correct, which I think is a really beautiful statement.
Why not just write be delusional?
Well, it is basically that, isn't it?
Because I honestly think that's the way it'd be.
Yeah, I think someone really cynical wrote this and they had the chance to, like, write something wonderful is about to happen, but they decided to write always believe.
On these things, why do they always have to do a different font on every single fucking line? Is it because they think people are going to get bored of reading, so they have to change fonts on every single line?
What is that about? Maybe it's to represent the change that's going to happen in your life as wonderful things emerge.
Maybe.
Or don't emerge. Or just keep being distracted. Keep distracting yourself from the misery.
This never would have happened if Tim Berners-Lee hadn't given us the webpage where we could change all of our fonts.
How did people make things before the internet? You know, like books and... Would I have been able to buy a notepad like this that had font on the front of it before the internet?
Yeah, but it probably would have been more expensive.
Yeah, because I guess you could just do it offline, couldn't you, on like a word processor?
Yeah.
I was with some 16-year-olds this week, and I found myself explaining to them... Oh, I'm sorry if you can hear a plane. I found myself explaining to them what dial-up internet was.
Oh, God, they didn't know. I mean,
they didn't know.
It sounds so bizarre when you describe it as well.
Yeah.
How did you describe it to them?
I said you had to negotiate with whoever was in the house about what time you sat at the computer. You couldn't move the computer, it was stationary. And then you had to decide whether or not you were making phone calls or you were on the internet. And if ever anyone needed to make a phone call, you had to unplug the internet and plug the phone back in. And they just didn't, I mean, it wasn't that they didn't understand, I think they just weren't interested. Because it's not that interesting, is it? I was like, honestly,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, sure thing, Grandma, let's get you back to bed. And then when you plugged it in, it would scream at you. Yeah, let's get you your pills.
When was that transition?
Like 1999, 2000, I want to say. Maybe later.
Do you remember getting a broadband box?
Vaguely. I mean, it must have been the most wonderful thing ever, but I don't I don't strictly remember it. Do you?
No, I don't. I remember getting the computer. I really remember that. And having a game on a floppy disk that I loved.
Do you think, here's my existential question, do you think we had it better then with regards to the internet being there for kind of the birth of it? Or do you think kids have it better now where they're all plugged into the matrix and like it's an extension of their lives?
That's a great question. I love this. This is you saying you want this to end, by the way, because this is our outro section, but that's fine.
Is it actually? It's just because I know that you have a busy life and it's nearly 8:30 and you said that you had to go at 8:30.
So. No, I'm really here for it. I just wanted to put it out there where we have no more to say about Tim Berners-Lee.
I'm doing what you asked me to do. And suddenly I'm the bad guy. Suddenly I'm the bad guy, okay?
We haven't talked literally about him at all.
Tim Berners-Lee, we have completely fucked this up on every single level. But it is Sunday and the show comes out tomorrow, so
yeah, we do have to do the edit. Okay, here we go. My answer to your existential question is, I think it's worse now, but I think it will get better. I think the difference for us was, I saw this somewhere, like a meme or something. We remember the before and we remember now, and we didn't know what it was going to become. So I definitely think we wrote a lot of dumb stuff and put a lot of dumb stuff online that maybe we wouldn't have done if we'd known the internet was going to be around forever and 16-year-old versions of ourselves were going to be around forever. But then Snapchat became a thing, so now you can say things and then it goes immediately, which is great. But then people still put dumb things online, don't they, even though they know it's there forever now?
Yeah, because their prefrontal cortexes are not developed. They're not, like, their brains aren't developed. Like,
you're right.
I know for a fact I would be putting things on the internet that I shouldn't be if I was 13.
Yeah, fair enough.
At least when we were doing it, no one over the age of 30 was looking at it.
Yeah, that's true. And we were able to delete our MySpace pages, weren't we? Unless you're Tom Hardy.
So,
it's worse now. But I think it will get better. I just think, and when I was reading about the World Wide Web, looking at this for today, like, it does still blow my mind that it's this totally kind of ungoverned, unregulated. You know, that was the thing I remember about the Olympic opening ceremony was the computer came out of the sky or whatever, and it all went round the stadium, and he was in a chair, and he said, I made this for everyone, or something like that. Like, this is for everyone.
Yeah, he chose not to make any money out of it, which, you know, is kind of the most iconic thing. Ever.
Absolutely amazing, but it means it's now this worldwide west, doesn't it, that we've not yet. I think people are going to look back.
They should have invited you on this panel. Worldwide west, they should have. What, they don't know what they're missing, mate. You don't listen to them.
I've never been more offended, but also I was quite glad because it was quite far away.
Yeah, and you do like to book yourself up.
Gave me a little free afternoon, didn't have to talk about the worldwide west. But listen, what was I going to say? This is for everyone, government, blah, blah, blah. This is it.
Sorry.
I think we're going to look back. No. We're going to look back, and you know how we look back and kids used to smoke, and we were like, as if we let kids smoke and didn't regulate it. We're obviously going to look back and be like, God, as if we let all these brains that were still developing have access to this completely immeasurably traumatic thing that impacts your well-being and mental health and brain development. What do you think?
I agree with all of that, to be honest. And I don't know how and when it will improve, because I think it's not the case that, like with smoking, like, not all adults smoked. Whereas now we all, pretty much all of us are on the internet, on social media. It's weirder to not be on social media at this point. And so I'm like, I don't see how we're gonna regulate something that, like, I don't know,
is the answer to our...
I don't know, life. Unsure.
Don't know. But you know,
Tim,
this is what...
give us a call.
This is what I did
what
say in my...
do?
In my sneaky interview with this philosophy festival that I didn't know was an interview, what I did say was, like, what did I say? I mean, I said a lot of dumb stuff, but... I guess it's just very simplistic to just say.
Your Guardian moment again? Have we talked about that on here, or did we talk about it on the Patreon?
What did I do in The Guardian? Oh, on the Patreon, and I'm not talking about that one here.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
I did something very embarrassing.
If you want to know that tidbit.
That was sort of an accidental tease, wasn't it? Don't subscribe, because I don't really want you to listen to it. Really embarrassing.
Give us £5 and you can find out what Helen's talking about. Yeah, carry on.
What I said on the phone was I just think it's really simplistic to just be like, internet bad. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. Because there's been so many amazing things that have happened. I mean, what the fuck would we have done if this pandemic had happened 40 years ago? We would have been so fucking bored. And, like, it probably would have spread way worse because we wouldn't have been able to communicate with each other. Yeah. And, yeah.
Oh, that's such a good point. You're so right. We'd have been sneaking around to each other's pads.
Yeah, out of sheer necessity.
Yeah.
You know, more so than in the panorama.
I've discovered tonight that I live under a flight path. Can you hear that? It's so loud.
I can. It kind of sounds like an air conditioning unit. It's fine. Wish. Helen, to be honest, the people who listen to this podcast put up with a lot worse than they're being like. In the background.
Can I ask you my existential question?
Please.
I saw a tweet that said, so it's very hot at the moment, obviously, it's very hot.
Mm-hmm.
Hot girl summer, be careful what you wish for. I saw a tweet that said, I could wake up in the fiery depths of hell and I would still want my morning cup of tea. Agree / disagree?
Whew. I'm probably going to still want it. But I'm not always going to drink it.
Mm.
But I'm going to wish that I could drink it. You know?
I do know. It's a great answer.
What about you?
Oh, I drink it every time.
You're a big cup of tea girl, aren't you?
I'm a big cup of tea, and I'm actually a bit embarrassed because at the moment I'm in rehearsals for something, and every single time the composer is this.
You're not in.
So, it's a thing that I've written, not that I'm in, which is musical.
Oh, is that all? You've just written a musical that the National Light put on?
On the side that I've been doing, a little musical. It's really testing my politics because our sharing, this has been a five-year project, and our sharing at the National Theatre Studio is on Friday, which is obviously the day of the London strikes, which is buses and tubes.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so, good for them we'll striking. Me?
The cabbies aren't striking.
No, but I'm at that's asking sort of people to pay to come and see it's going to be good, but they don't know it's going to be good until they come, do they?
Mm.
And if it was me and I had an excuse to get out of seeing like a work in progress sharing of something, I'd be like, oh, that's probably shit anyway. It's not. It's great. Mm. Come, get a cab if you listen to this. But anyway, every time I'm in the kitchen, it's really embarrassing because I keep asking people whether they think a hot cup of tea actually cools you down. And every time I'm talking to a different person about it, but the composer of this musical keeps coming in at the moment that I'm talking about it, and it looks like I have nothing to say to people.
He thinks you've got zero fucking chat. That's the only thing that you can say. Like, you've been at home rehearsing because of your social anxiety. What can I ask people about? What Do will you get think, the people going...
But also, I had this realisation.
And now you've done the same thing to me.
Yeah, I've now said it on the podcast. Also, he's going to listen to this and it's going to confirm. Because you say it looks like I've got no chat, but maybe it's just that I do have no chat because I do ask everybody that I meet. Do you think a cup of tea makes you, cools you down?
Yeah.
Leave comments below.
Also, I did think you were going to ask me a question related to Tim Berners-Lee and then you
I know you did, but
about...
that's how I got you. Wow. I could ask you, no, I'm not going to, actually.
Oh, what? Now I want to be asked. Reverse psychology works on me, apparently.
No, I was just going to think of something on the spot to do with Tim Berners-Lee, but I thought, we've done such a terrible job of talking about Tim Berners-Lee, I thought maybe actually let's
Two
just
big
leave
lickers.
It.
Let's get out of here.
Bye!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.